Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington is with us at 1. We'll talk Wizards and NBA trade deadline. At 12:18, though, Otto Porter Jr. is a Bull. Markieff Morris is a Pelican. What do we think of what the Wizards have done to this point? What should be their next move? Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. We'll talk Caps in just a couple of minutes, but we got to start on the hardwood. The news of the day, the Wiz. Nick Ashew, you watch him, Wizards Outsiders on NBC Sports Washington here in town. Nicholas, Otto Porter, we'll start with that deal. They get out of a terrible contract. They bring in two expiring contracts. Do you like the deal in a vacuum?
I like the deal because it's the best thing that they could have done given the circumstances. Like, everybody wants to look at it as they shouldn't have done this and they shouldn't have done that. Well, they did, and you can't fix that. This is the closest thing they could have come to fixing it. And listen, you get $20 million off the books with Jabari Parker at the end of the season, because there ain't no way they're picking up that option. I can promise you that right now. Bobby Portis is a restricted free agent. I really like Bobby Portis. He's a good young player. We actually talked to the Bulls Outsiders in Chicago on our Wizards Outsider show last night, and they're big fans of Bobby Portis up in Chicago. He's a guy that can get you, you know, he's getting 14-7 this year, turned down a big extension from the Bulls to bet on himself, so keep that in mind. He's going to want to get paid this offseason, and the question is whether or not the Wizards are going to want to do that. We know, most importantly, this was about clearing money for them and them getting below the tax level. I get that. But at the same time, they've at least added depth to a team that, look, if they say they're still pushing for the playoffs, they've at least put them in a position short-term to still push for the playoffs, and I'll give them credit for that.
I can't help but escape. Core player, untouchable, part of the furniture here, building block. We can't re-sign Kelly Oubre. We can't keep Bojan Bogdanovic. We had to use our first rounder to go get Bogdanovic. All the money now into a salary dump.
Yes.
Otto Porter.
Yes.
It's hard a bad for look. Me to look at it in a vacuum.
And like you're that. And you're right to look at it big picture like that. When I'm looking at it in a vacuum is because that's the only option we have. But yes, you go back and look at Oubre was sacrificed. Now, granted, they may not have even wanted to re-sign him in the offseason. He could have gotten too much money. The guy never passes the ball. He averaged 0.7 assists per game while he was here with the Wizards, and said, you know, I don't get paid to pass the ball, which, by the way, Jabari Parker said, I don't get paid to play defense with the Bulls at the beginning of the season, so keep that in mind. That's a guy you're going to have now standing around and looking comatose on the defensive side of the ball, but he will score for you. Listen, the Bojan Bogdanovic thing, they thought the East was open, because if you remember a couple of years ago, that was when the Cavs looked shaky. And they thought LeBron, and it was like, this is our chance, and other teams in the East were like, this is our opportunity, and the Wizards sacrificed that first-round pick, and it looks bad. That being said, you can't change what happened then. For them at least to fix where it is now, you should at least be, I don't even want to say happy, I would say even keeled about this is maybe the best way to put it, that it's at least, it's a best case scenario for what they were stuck with currently.
Okay, but if they don't do anything else, so it's Porter and it's Morris out, and they get under the luxury tax threshold, and now they say, let's actually re-sign Sato, let's take some of that money, and maybe we re-sign Trevor Ariza, who's 33 years old. Are we okay with that?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Keep in mind, Thomas Bryant is a restricted free agent, too, and he's played really well for this team limited minutes.
He was fun to watch last night. He's great.
He's really fun to watch. He's a high-energy player. He's really young, really raw, and he's a liability defensively right now because he's just not strong, and he gets beat up on the block when big men take him in the post. But he's got potential, and the Wizards are really high on him. Sano obviously is more valuable to them now with the John Wall injury, but Thomas Bryant is somebody they're going to look to re-sign in the offseason too. The Trevor Ariza news last night really surprised me because he didn't look happy to be here. I still wonder whether that's truly the case, that they would re-sign him. If I'm them, I'm not doing that with him about to be 34 years old. You've got to start thinking younger. I would rather them re-sign Bobby Portis and not Trevor Ariza.
Quickly, why aren't they spinning their remaining guys to a contender for a future pick? Because they have no second-round picks for 5 years.
Because they want to get to the playoffs. They want that eighth seed. Because you can make $2 million a game at home for that. And it's a business. And whether we like it or not, that is the case with this team, that making the playoffs is better than the quote-unquote rebuild or tanking. It's just that simple.
Wow.
Nick, thank you, pal. Great catching up. And if you hear any breaking news today, it's going to be from Nick Ashew first. So he will keep you abreast of everything going on in the NBA. Let's talk some puck, shall we? The Caps are looking to string together some wins. They want back-to-back victories. They want to improve to 3-1 since their much-needed All-Star break. They got the Colorado Avalanche in town for a 7 o'clock puck drop tonight. We've got Tom Daly, who you heard on Crashing the Net, our all-caps, all-NHL show last night on The Fan, joining us here on The Blitz. Tommy, why don't we start with the Avalanche? Tell me a little bit about the matchup. They've got one tremendous line, don't they?
Yeah, their top line is great. That's pretty much where it starts and ends. The one thing that people will be familiar with from the Colorado Avalanche is Semyon Varlamov starting in net tonight against Phoenix Copley. And Varlamov, after he left for Colorado, not really the same player that he was here in D.C., but pretty interesting to see that they have a choice of Philip Grubauer and Semyon Varlamov. I wonder where they're scouting their goaltenders from.
Can we just say this is the most handsome Beltway Blitz of all time?
No.
Just pretty Nick Ashew and Tommy? Just no. Pretty good suave gentlemen talking sport over here. Tommy, I liked what I saw against Vancouver. Trend or mirage here? Because I thought it was a turning point after the Calgary game and then the Boston thing happened.
Yeah.
Are we kickstarting now? Do we feel better?
I don't know if you can read too much into it because Vancouver's like a middle-of-the-road team. Yep. They're one of those teams that don't know if they're going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline. They're sitting about mid-level in their division. So it's not really something you can look too much into. I would say that if they put up a performance tonight against Colorado like they did against Vancouver, where in that first period against Vancouver they outshot the Canucks 18-5. So if they do that against Colorado again tonight, then it's going to look more like a trend. But right now, I would say based off of what we've seen from Vancouver this year, you can't read too much into it, but it looks like they're headed in the right direction.
When you look at the rest of the Metro, the Islanders, everyone keeps saying will cool off, but they haven't. The Penguins are authentic and legit. We know that.
And trading to get better every day.
Every day. And you got a team like the Flyers, as pedestrian as they are, that had ripped off 8 straight wins. There's actually a lot of competition, a lot of warm clubs they got to play a bunch in this division. A lot has changed in the last year in terms of the Caps just having a stranglehold to now. They're going to have to earn this thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I was one of those people that was saying that the Islanders were going to cool down. It doesn't look like that. It looks like Barry Trotz has that team headed in the right direction. It looks like they found their replacement for John Tavares in Matthew Barzal. So they're going to be tough. Pittsburgh continues to somehow work their way around that salary cap and trade to get better. They probably have the 5 best center options in the NHL. So they're going to be a problem. And yeah, I mean, I guess Columbus is going to be a team you're going to have to look out for if they don't trade Artemi Panarin. But Philadelphia, I'm writing off. They had a hot streak, but they can't get right in goal. The biggest thing for me, my takeaway in the East, is what Steven Stamkos said in the other division about how this is their year and no one's going to stop them. And they seem to be running away with their division. So I would be more worried about how you get to the playoffs and then who you face in the playoffs, because the Lightning are going to be a tough team to beat.
Tommy, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. We have not gotten into detail in the Otto Porter trade since early in the show. So why don't we do this next? Are the Wizards actually, in your opinion, doing the right thing so that they can try to rebuild? Or do you think all of this was just to get under the luxury tax and they're still going to try to win right away? And are you okay with the decision to do that if that's the case? 800-636-1067. What do you think is the thinking behind the plan that we've seen materializing over the last 15 hours or so? We're Grant and Danny. In the 1 o'clock hour, we'll take some calls on whether or not Bradley Beal should be considered untouchable. But right now on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines, we want to know what you think was behind the 2 trades for the Wizards yesterday. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to hop in. That's 800-636-1067. They did the right thing by getting out of the Otto Porter contract, by getting out of Markieff Morris's money. Now, you can argue about what they got back for Morris and if he was a better asset than the return. Obviously, they had to package in a second-round pick to move that money as well. But they're under the luxury tax, and they've cleared up well over $20 million from next year's allocated cap space. Otto Porter was due close to $28 million. That's the number they've now cleared. They got two expiring contracts. Did they do it because they're finally seeing the light that we've all been begging them to see? We've led them to this water over and over and over again, and they've refused to drink. Do you think that they're licking the water finally, or are they turning around, walking away, and this is actually just what they had to do mathematically, get under the luxury tax, and they're going to do what's being reported as a major possibility, that they're going to re-sign Trevor Ariza, that they're going to re-sign a guy like, if it's not Ariza, maybe it's Jeff Green, that they're going to try to spend this money. Maybe it's Satoransky, although I think that's more of a need now, needing a point guard with the wall injury. Again, 800-636-1067. Because if you did all this just to get under the luxury tax, to still pretend like being the 7 or 8 seed is good enough, you're not in much better of a spot.
No, I don't want to say they're worse because they're not, but it's...
Well, they're worse for the moment, and their future plan's not better.
Right. If the stated goal is to say, let's re-sign some of these guys that have us 10 games under 500 in a garbage back end of the East, then that is worse. That's silly. Then you wasted these resources. This is about the luxury tax to me, just reading the tea leaves. My initial reaction to the Porter trade was, if this is the start of a sea change, of a correct assessment of this broken, stuck group to finally stockpile some assets. Again, they have no contributions from 6 years' worth of draft picks. Either they're not on the team or they don't play in the form of Troy Brown. That is a disaster for any team that A, wants to compete, or B, wants to one day compete. That's unacceptable. You must stockpile draft picks because they have none for the next 5 years in the second round. This was about this year's luxury tax payment because, simple math here, among teams that have paid the luxury tax, I think 28 have in their history. Each time they did, it was a we're going for it type move. A legitimate thing to do, by the way. Golden State's, you know, pays it. Let's win 8. Let's win 70 games, right? Like, you try to go all in and you go over to pay some of your own guys because you want to keep the band together. Among teams that have paid the tax with this year's record, the Wizards have the third worst record in the history of the luxury tax. The whole point is, it ain't working. It wasn't working when John Wall was healthy.
If you're paying the luxury tax, which you should, like teams like the Boston Red Sox last year paid the luxury tax, you win a World Series because you spend more money than most other teams. It's worth it.
Yeah.
To spend as much money as they were to be 10 games under 500 is a joke. And that's why they decided they're not going to do it again this year. So
that's
you give them
about
a little bit of credit for that. Look, there was a time in the not-too-distant past where John Wall had just come and Flip Saunders, the late Flip Saunders, tragically, was coaching this team. And they were 20-46, you'll remember, or 29-53 under Randy Whitman. And like Martell Webster was one of their better players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those Wizards teams that weren't winning 30 games, you could say, what if they were somewhere between 4th and 8th in the East and they made the playoffs more often than not for a 5-year stretch? And that would have been a big jump, and you would have felt good about that. So to go from those 20-plus win teams to winning 44, 46, 41, 49, 43 games has been progress. They got to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, and in fact, got to the conference semis the first 3 of those 4 appearances. Last year was the first time they got knocked out in the first round. When you hadn't made the playoffs in 4 straight years before that, and then you go 4 out of 5, that's big-time progress. But Ted Leontis and everyone around Leontis admitted correctly, this is not good enough anymore. To just be 7th or 8th, we've got Wall, we've got Beal. They decided Porter was the guy as the third option, which didn't make any sense to me. But we're no longer just content being a back-end playoff team in a terrible conference where if you're trying, you make the playoffs, or being the 4th or 5th seed. It's time to get to the conference final. That was the goal this year, remember? It's time to get to the NBA finals. That was the goal. Well, now they've set their sights back, and they can blame it on injuries if they want to, but if everyone was healthy, you weren't getting to the conference
final
this year.
They were worse with that version of John Wall. That's
their record's better without him right now. Yeah, they're 9-10. Jaime's in Manassas. What's up, Jaime?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
thank you for taking my call. Hey, guys, I see it in different ways. First of all, they keep in Beal. I think Beal is a superstar that you should build around. I heard at the beginning of the season there were some trade rumors about him. I like him more than John Wall to build around. He's a closer. He plays great in the fourth quarter, and that's what we need. The second thing, I didn't like Porter as a third core piece. I think he was not that. So I think we clear some cap room now. We traded the back contract. And meanwhile, we're waiting for Wall to get healthy. Maybe we can find that second piece, that piece that we're missing. We can stay competitive, and then we can wait until John Wall gets back, and maybe we have a better team that can compete for a conference championship or maybe go to the NBA Finals. But I think it was a great piece just for the salary cap purposes and also to keeping Beal and having him being the superstar, the core of the team.
Thank so Jaime is more Grunfeld than he is you and I in the mm-hmm. sense that he views them as much closer than we do. I don't see a path to an NBA final with this, not only collection of players, this front office, but in this era, so to speak. I don't see the road that they could possibly drive on. He does. He says, wait for Wall. He'll come back in a year and a half. Even if I was patient enough to do that, I don't have confidence that in a year and a half John Wall's going to be John Wall.
It doesn't happen. It
just go get
happen.
A second piece with Beal, and then he'll be the third piece when the Wall gets back. Can they do that? They haven't been able to. They've been trying for years. They couldn't get anyone to take their money. That's why they ended up with the terrible contract for Jan Mahimi and Andrew Nicholson and Jason Smith that they did. I think they're a mile away. He thinks they're a tenth of a mile
the way
away.
They need to do it, in order to get to be that free agent destination where Al Horford looks at you and says, yes. Right, not Al Horford specifically, but that kind of person, right?
That was the last guy that they tried hard and he decided to go elsewhere.
Is you stockpile the Jaylen Browns. You stockpile the Scary Terrys. You stockpile all the guys in the wings that Boston did. The Wizards have none of those things. The cupboard is bare. They went all in with this particular group. The way to get those guys is you have to stockpile draft assets. You have to go get some young pieces and young players and not overcommit to them, right? Not count them as building blocks when they're not. Then you can be in position to trade for a Paul George. You can be in position to trade for Jimmy Butler. Once you've got a couple of those guys, as you're making all the jigsaw puzzles fit, now all of a sudden the free agent comes available and goes, you know what's desirable? This team with three legit stars, I can go there. Or this team with two legit stars and five role players that are worth a damn. Not this group that's on a couple second rounders, a couple G League guys, and five veterans that don't fit. Not here.
All right, how about this? Next, you give us the one deal you would make before the deadline at 3 for the Wizards, 2.5 hours from now. If you took over this second, you had carte blanche to do whatever you wanted. What's the first move you would make? And you don't have to give us the specifics necessarily in terms of compensation, but if you can, great. Team you're trading a guy to, what's coming back? Is your first move to get rid of fill in the blank? Is it to sign someone to a contract extension? What are you doing? 800-636-1067. You want to join us on Grant and Danny. It is NBA trade deadline day on The Fan.
Guys, Danny Rubio here for my friends at the St. James. It is a secret. Not any longer. St. James, the newest destination for active families in Washington. There's something for everybody here. They could probably fix my voice, for goodness sakes. Sports Fanatics, two NHL-sized rinks, state-of-the-art fieldhouse, hardwood courts, even an Olympic-sized pool. And that is just the beginning. They got top-notch coaches, competitive leagues in over 30 sports, and developmental training programs so you can learn at your pace, not somebody else's. Sports aside, how about an active entertainment center with climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, and a water park? It's massive. You got to see it to believe it. It's all perfect for that unforgettable birthday party. Plus, a premium health club, by the way, with cardio classes like cycling, Pilates, dedicated personal trainers, and so much more. Post-workout, premium full-service spa. Sweating with restorative massages, facials, and cryotherapy, because you can never treat yourself too well. And to top it all off, fill your stomach. They got a Spike Medicine Design restaurant. Oh, and by the way, a health and sports medicine center. It's all there. So much under one roof. The St. James is truly the first of its kind. Visit the stjames.co. That is the stjames.co and join today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In 15 minutes, we will go around the NFL with the latest from the National Football League on a day in which some moving and shaking is being done. But right now it is NBA trade deadline day. Grant and Danny, we're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. You take over the Wizards today. What move are you making? What would you do? Danny, why don't we start with you? First thing you would do, with the two moves already having been made, supposedly they're talking about now keeping the rest of the band together. You're taking over. What are you doing?
First thing, I'm just so excited Ernie Grunfeld's fired. That's the best news of the day.
He's not. You're working with him.
Oh, then I'm firing him. So the second thing I'm doing is I'm spinning Ariza, probably to a contender, and I'm going to spin Jeff Green, probably to a contender. Doesn't preclude me, by the way, from trying to re-sign them in the offseason, if I feel like it, by the way, because that's the plan, as currently stated. I can try to do that. I think it's a foolish thing to try to do, by the way, but I can if I want to. I'll probably end up with a couple second-rounders out of that. They can either be sweeteners in another deal, or they can just be the picks that I end up trying to use. My second order of business, I'm actually not going to trade Bradley Beal at the deadline. My move is going to be to wait for this summer. Once the dust settles on the draft lottery, once the dust settles on where Anthony Davis ends up, right, he's going to be my consolation prize. So the Knicks are clearing the deck for Anthony Davis.
He meaning Beal.
Which he, sorry.
You said he's going to be my consolation prize.
Beal will be the consolation prize for people that miss out on Anthony Davis.
If you miss out on Davis, they settle on Beal.
Sorry if that wasn't clear. So say the Knicks, who are clearing the deck for Anthony Davis, are trying to do everything they possibly can to get him. Said they don't. I go, hey, how you guys doing? How about give me your first-round pick unprotected this year and give me next year's number one for Bradley Beal. I end up with a top-five pick, probably two top-five picks just to kickstart this thing. You can call the Mavericks, right, who are going to be in the lottery for sure next year, right, because Porzingis may or may not play for a
while.
They're
in a deal-making kind of mood.
They're ready to wheel and deal. I'm going to kickstart my rebuild that way. Maybe I re-sign Tomas Satoransky. That's probably about it. I'm going to field a team next year that ain't going anywhere. If they do the moves they're planning on doing right now, guess what? They ain't going anywhere. They're broken. I could either lose with a purpose or lose the way they're going to lose.
Well, I'll tell you where they're going to go, actually. If they talk, the talk is correct and the moves that they're considering making, the re-signing of Jeff Green or the re-signing of Trevor Ariza, they are going somewhere. It's back into the middle of the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Rather than being toward the bottom where your team that you're building would be correctly so that you could get a draft pick. So they're not going anywhere that matters. They're not getting into the second round of the playoffs. They may not even get into the playoffs. I mean, they're trying their best. It's super hard, by the way. It's really hard in the NBA to miss the playoffs when you're trying to make it. In the Eastern Conference right now, I think teams could accidentally get in more easily than they could try to get in and not do so. That's what we're talking about in their 10 games under 500, and some of that has to do with the injuries, obviously, specifically to Wall, even though they got a better record without him. Markieff Morris, pretty costly. Dwight Howard, you can run through all the excuses you want to. For me, first move I make is I trade Trevor Ariza to the Lakers. The Lakers want Trevor Ariza. Woj reported that last night. He said it wasn't going to happen because the Wizards and Ariza have mutual interest about their futures. So I would pick up the phone. I'd call them back. I'd say, hey, there's a new sheriff in town here. We're making this deal. What do you got? And I would do the best I possibly could in an Ariza deal, which probably would be a second-round pick and whatever. That's fine. I would then trade Jeff Green, like you did, and I would make those two deals. And I would call, or I would have, is Tommy Shepard still the guy that works under Ernie? He's been around forever ever. I would have that guy call 15 teams, and I would call 15 teams. I would literally get on the phone with everyone today, and I would say, anybody on my roster is available, give me your best offers. And I would just trade another two or three guys for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I want as few people in the locker room when I play the next time as we're there when we gave up 149 to the Milwaukee Bucks. That's kind of my strategy today, just so we're on the same page. I want as little money invested in and as little amount of cash going to players on the books for next year as I can possibly have. So everything I'm doing, I'm trading for the only assets I'm getting back, really, or expiring contracts. I don't care about anything unless I'm trading for Bradley Beal, at which point I want picks. I would call the Lakers on Beal, and I would say, what about Kyle Kuzma? What about Brandon Ingram? What about an unprotected first-round draft pick in the next couple of seasons? Yeah, I'll take on, if it's Rondo's $9 million or whatever it is that's expiring, I'll take on some money if I have to. You know, that deal you were talking about for Anthony Davis that's not going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite need that level of that deal, but how close to it can we get? Do you want Bradley Beal or you don't? And if I can't get what I need, which would be, say, Ingram, Kuzma, and a pick, a number one, I don't need to make the deal right now.
Right. No hurry.
But I'm trying to make that deal right now. You really couldn't stop me from making phone calls, which is the opposite, it sounds like, of what they're doing today. They might be answering some.
They're resisting, it sounds like, yeah.
But if you believe the reporting, they have washed their hands and said, we did it. We're under the luxury tax. We got our goal accomplished for the 2019 trade deadline.
Yeah, we got under the luxury tax, which is not enough. It's just not enough because that doesn't help anybody. To borrow from my friend Grant Paulson, that doesn't put the Triscuit crackers in my stomach. Doesn't help you. Doesn't help any fan. Now, they won't be repeat luxury tax offenders, which gives them a tiny bit more flexibility going forward. That's adorable. But they're going to use it to squander it, basically, to keep this band together as much as possible. It's silly, frankly.
Chris Miles of NBA TV was on the show earlier today. We asked him about the Otto Porter trade, and like you and I, as far as the trade in and of itself, set aside from everything else going on, he really liked that they got out of the contract, got the two expiring deals, and picked up one really decent player with some upside.
I loved it. The second I saw it, I mean, look, before John Wall went down, I said the Wizards were in a situation where it just doesn't work with all three of them, John, Brad, and Otto. And I always felt like Otto was the odd man out, but I didn't think he held any value in a trade scenario. And this season, Otto has been below average. So I think the Wizards won that trade in the sense that they got out of his bad contract, which still has two more years after this season, and they were able to get back two expiring contracts in Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker.
And that's all nice. That's all well and good. Again, the context is what matters here the most. So you can just look through a microscope, right? You ever seen one of those, like the old-timey, like microfiche or like the old records of like newspapers from like the 40s, 50s, and 60s? And you get that long roll, and there's a little thing, and you get, like, look under the microscope, and you go, ah, the headline about Truman and this and that, and you go, oh, okay, that's what that was. If you just take one little sliver of time and go, well, they had a salary cap problem. They helped get themselves out of that salary cap problem by trading Otto Porter. You'd go, oh, wow, good job. Yay, that's nice. This was a hot rat's nest of a mess created by no forethought, terrible asset management, and Ernie Grunfeld's bungling. So he got out from his own mess and now probably wants a parade based on that.
Did you say fish at some point?
Microfiche.
Is that microfish and you're saying microfiche?
No, I'm saying the actual word microfiche.
But what about fish?
What you do is
the
mispronounce
that you
the
try
word
to reel in.
Fish. You're trying to say fish. That's an I there. I'm saying fish, which is the double E-S-H situation.
It sounded like you said you wanted the Wizards to go fishing for a star this offseason.
I don't. Well, I guess I do. But...
Do you, though?
Yeah. I want a star like Trevor Ariza. 34 years old.
That would be a great star.
Star like Tomas Satoransky is already in the building.
Trevor Ariza, older than Adrian Peterson, by the way. Wouldn't have had that in the office pool.
Similar type thing. Had more than you thought when acquired,
yeah.
Right?
Fish. I heard fish, and then I missed the rest of it. Well, I'm sure it was good.
I felt pretty good about it.
I just couldn't wait to say the word fish.
I know. You were very excited about that. I saw the look in your eyes.
Yeah,
What did I do?
I have a notebook here in front of me that I use to jot down notes so that I don't forget things.
Just says fish.
No. How did I spell it?
Oh, I'm looking at double E. You double E'd it.
E-E-S-H. Fish. Just so I didn't forget to bring up that you
said
fish.
Where's that from, by the way? Like, the purposeful mispronunciation of the word? Like, where'd it come from, actually?
Well, we'll pull back the curtain a little bit. You've never asked this before.
I know.
I have a family friend and a neighbor who I go fishing with, hang out with, whatever, who says the word fish a lot of the time. True story.
That's where it's from?
Yeah. So like
is this a King Georgian sort of thing?
No, it's just a weird bit. We don't know why he says it or how he does it. No, he's not really a yinzer. But me and my brother, because of that, always say fish. And we started doing it just as a bit because we heard him say it.
Of course, yeah.
But now we absolutely, like, and especially if he says it and we're around, we're like, did you hear that? Fish. That's where it started.
What is Danny naming his boat? Because it sounds like he's going fishing. He's got his own boat. Got to get a name for it.
I don't know where this boat's going, though. Grant's was about a Stanley Cup trophy. Mine's about, like, tanking and rebuilding. I don't know what that's about.
No, I think you're trying to fish for Trevor Ariza to get a Supermax deal.
Yeah, that's what I need. Does he say anything else weird, by the way? Because if you say fish weird, that's got to be the tip of the iceberg.
There's a couple of things in there probably, but the one I've always noticed is fish. I couldn't pull any others.
Okay.
I'm sure there are some.
Have to be, right?
But that word in and of itself is kind of like synonymous with you're out on the water, you hear him say the word fish, and it's fish. I love it.
That is so weird.
It's a great bit.
That is weird.
Chase Hughes is on the show in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll go around the NFL with you next on Grant and Danny. Before we get to the latest from the NFL as we go around the league, quick update from Major League Baseball. Sources are telling John Morosi of MLB Network and Fox Sports that the Marlins and the Phillies are closing in on a deal that would send catcher superstar behind the plate, JT Realmuto, probably the best catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
From Miami to Philly, staying in the National League East. There's been a lot of momentum last 24 hours. Sexto Sanchez, who is the pitching prospect in the Phillies system that a lot of people have wanted this offseason, would be a centerpiece in the deal, as well as a catcher with big-time power and pretty strong arm, Jorge Alfaro, who came over from the Texas Rangers at one point in time in the Cole Hamels deal. So that would be the package. They're closing in on a trade. I want to know, and the only thing I care about as a Nats fan here, Realmuto stays in the division. It's great for the Phillies as they close the gap with Washington even further.
It's going to torment the Nats.
It's going to hurt the Nationals. But what does it mean for Bryce Harper? And Realmuto's on a really team-friendly deal. Do they extend him for big money? If they do, can they still sign Harper to $350 million? And so that's something that I would want some answers on, and I'm sure Nats fans will as well. But the Braves have a chance to win the division. They're every bit as good as the Nationals coming into the year with their young pitching. The Phillies, chance to win the division. Maybe a game or two behind in the pecking order, according to the predictions, the Nationals. But they're right there. And the Mets, after a huge offseason, bringing in Robinson Cano, going and getting one of the best closers in the sport as well. This is a four-horse race.
I think the Mets are the worst of the four, but again, injuries break the way they did last year, for example, for the Nationals, and they don't for the Mets. They could be a force in this division. It's no longer a cakewalk.
Let's get to the NFL latest. The Jaguars will make some sort of play for Nick Foles. This is via The Athletic's Daniel Popper. As he says, Jacksonville has put a plan in place to try to acquire Foles, and this should not surprise you at all. The latest on Foles is that the Eagles slapped a $20 million extension on him. He's paying the team $2 million to make sure that $20 million extension gets voided, which was an option in his contract. So the option was exercised, de-exercised. Now the Eagles are going to try to put a $25 million franchise tag on him and then trade him. There's some scuttlebutt that this is against the CBA and that maybe the Players Association would step in. It's certainly what Foles wants, so in that case, they'd be working against and fighting against their own player. Perhaps he'd rather just hit free agency and go get a massive contract right away, but I would think he'd want the 1 year and the $25 million to negotiate off of that'll make him more money.
What is the precedent here for, because the stated goal would, I mean, they wouldn't say this, but it would sound like the Eagles are franchising him just to trade him, and that in spirit violates the purpose of the franchise tag rule. That's kind of what I was reading here.
You're right.
What precedent is there to overturn that? Like, what would happen? Let's say, for sake of argument, players union fights it and they win. What does that mean? The tag's voided and he's a free agent?
Maybe. Here's what I don't get, though. What is the point of the franchise tag from the player perspective? Okay, the reason it was originally agreed upon is they said, well, you can keep us if you want to, and we have to just do whatever you want for years on end, but you're going to pay us handsomely. He's making the money. Nick Foles, who is a backup as of this season, will be paid at a top five rate in the National Football League. No disrespect to Nick Foles. You don't deserve that money. Just like we talked about, Kirk Cousins doesn't deserve $84 million guaranteed. That's what the market dictated. Well, now the market on a franchise tag dictates that you are a $25 million quarterback. He should be ecstatic if he gets tagged. And I'll bet you he would be very happy getting tagged and traded. So I think the league's Players Association may need to just stand down on this one, because you're fighting about something while in theory maybe is a problem for players. It actually would work out really well in the quarterback case this time around for Nick Foles. Moving on, Dom Capers has turned down a chance to be the defensive coordinator with the Bengals. Longtime ex-Packers DC offered the job, said no. Jack Del Rio has also turned down that job. This is two guys who've been around forever who had a chance to link up with Zach Taylor, who everyone's hoping is going to be the next Sean McVay in Cincinnati as quarterback's coach, who's 35 years old. This is not quite alarming, but odd. Remember, when McVay got the job in L.A., before he even sat down for his first interview, he and Wade Phillips were coming as a package deal.
That's right.
So he got the longtime defensive ace on his side and said, I'm a young kid. I know offense. I'm a neophyte, and I need your help. And he was able to pull that off. Zach Taylor, the opposite's happening. He wanted Del Rio, couldn't get him. Wanted Capers, couldn't get him. Now Aubrey Pleasant is reportedly going to interview. That's a name you should recognize. He was a Redskins defensive, basically assistant, started out labeling tapes and helping blow the whistle in practice and worked his way up little by little. And people love this guy. He's a defensive mind that's up and coming. He was on that Shanahan 2013 staff that got blown out when they all left. So he's been working under McVay. He's going to interview for the DC job. I'm pulling for him. Nice dude. But, man, it sounds like Taylor wants a guy who has been around the block and he can't get one.
Yeah, that's the difference. You want the clone of, not the Jim Rome clown, by the way. You want the clone of the original gangster here, which is Sean McVay, the guy that's got universally acclaim and respect, et cetera. You get a guy that's like that, well, it doesn't come with the same cachet. You don't get that level of connection. Zach Taylor's grandfather, I don't know who he was, but I doubt he's one of the most respected league executives in history like McVay's was. You just don't have that. You don't have the same thing. It's when you, instead of getting your own innovator and you find a guy that's like the version of the guy that everybody seems to like because you saw them on national television score a bunch of points against Kansas City, that's what you end up with.
The Giants are making the easiest decision in the history of the New York Giants organization. According to The Athletic's Dan Duggan, they are not going to exercise Jonathan Stewart's option for 2019. I don't think as a show collectively you and I have ever been more right about anything than we were about the contract he signed in New York.
Ridiculous.
He got $2.95 million guaranteed and carried the ball six times for 17 yards last
year. Every cent of that was incorrect.
So
every cent.
They could either pay him $2.8 million more and keep him on the roster, or they could get rid of him at a cost of basically like $250,000 that they would gain in cap credit this year. I would say I would rather do that and keep handing the ball to Saquon Barkley. He's 32 years old. Does he get a job, do you think, this year?
I bet you he resurfaces like a C.J. Anderson, somebody's roster in like week 15. I think he'll be hanging out waiting to get a call.
I hope he has a little C.J. Anderson final chapter, too. Because that guy was winning playoff games for the Rams and running the football in the Super Bowl. The NFL's looking into Antonio Brown's incident, as they are calling it. Miami, Florida radio host Andy Slater obtained a copy of the incident report from police, shedding a bit more light into the situation. So Brown's daughter's mom, his, what do they call it, baby mama, ex-girlfriend? I don't know what you
refer to
that.
Whatever we're saying, yeah.
Went to Brown's house in Hollywood, Florida, tried to collect money for a reimbursement of a haircut for the child. Brown allegedly refused and ended up two-hand pushing the woman to the ground. The woman later refused to complete a victim affidavit, and nothing came of the matter. For now, it doesn't seem like Brown will face any discipline, but, of course, the NFL has done things in the past you weren't thinking they were going to do. If this is true, this is a disgrace, by the way. I hope it's not, and who knows what's what in this story. But if this guy who makes all of the money didn't want to give the ex-girlfriend who's the mom of his child money for a haircut and ends up shoving her to the ground, there are so many things wrong with that.
There's a lot wrong with that picture, as you would say. Man, oh, man.
I'm feeling good about saying a couple weeks ago I'm out on Antonio Brown.
He's so good. And each one of these, whatever these little things are, keep piling up. There's a lot in the negative pile.
How about being a 43-year-old kicker and having teams interested in you? I love this
story.
Can
you imagine?
The Falcons got rid of Matt Bryant, who's 43. He's about to be 44 in May before the start of the season. And he already has offers coming in, at least interest. He was scheduled to make about $2.5 million this coming year, $1 million in roster bonuses. The Falcons have taken that off their books. He missed three games this past season, remained one of the best kickers in the league, though, going 20 of 21 on field goals, 33 of 35 on extra points. Sounds like the Tampa Bay Bucks, among other teams, are the clubs that are talking about having him into training camp as a favorite to land their job.
Is that Tampa Bay Bucks team the team that drafted a kicker in the second round a few years ago? Is that same one?
That's the one.
Roberto Aguayo, yeah.
Florida State product.
They did.
And lastly, you know, the Vikings are not going to be able to keep all of their high-paid players after not only bringing in Kirk Cousins, but some of the contracts that they've signed players through the last few years. You guarantee a quarterback $84 million, that's going to be part of the story, right?
Uh-huh.
Star Tribune in Minnesota's Ben Gessling says the Vikings have to consider potentially cutting Everson Griffin this offseason. He's 31. He battled mental health issues and wasn't available to the team a whole lot this season. Right. He had just 5.5 sacks in 11 games. That's a hell of a football player, though. And this is a guy with 43.5 sacks over 4 years before last season. He's due $11 million in salary this season. $10.7 million against the cap is what they might save if they could cut him, though. So that's a huge number to create in terms of space.
I think they have to.
If he's going to be what he was this year, if he gets back to being a 12-sack guy, I think I want that guy on my roster.
Well, you're going to take a chance as a pass rusher, right? I mean, but that's, to me, the guy you can't count on at this point. Regardless of how we get there to not be able to count on, and not to be flippant about if he's going through mental issues.
True.
If you can't count on the guy to be there, if it's injury, if it's off-field stuff, if it's mental, whatever, I don't know. I think that would probably be where I'd use the scalpel if I was Minnesota.
That was a scary offseason.
Oh, absolutely.
Or not offseason, sorry, but scary stretch of the season for him.
I mean, some of those stories
in and out
are,
of like, mental institutes and trying to be helped and showing up at people's houses.
A friend like would look out the window and see him like on the street. I mean, it was harrowing if you read any of the details.
Crazy. Chase Hughes covers the Wizards. We'll ask him what the team's going to do before today's 3 o'clock deadline. Next, the Capitals do play tonight. We've got a preview of their game with the Avalanche. And Jeremy Hellickson is a Washington National again. We'll look at their rotation as we continue on Grant and Danny.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.